Welcome to the Fulham on the Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:28 British Summer Time. Today is May 26th. Well, today we've seen some rather interesting action, particularly in the US, where we've seen now that the Nasdaq is closing up almost 3.5%, with the S&P up over 2.5% and Dow up just under 2.5%. And this is a marked change from how markets from how the market opened, because we saw that in Asia it was relatively quiet, and in Europe we saw a number of those markets down over 2% earlier on in the day, but they all closed up in excess of 1%. So quite interesting action, and that is, I think, centering on today's big news story that the consumer confidence came in better than a lot of people were expecting. That's probably not too difficult considering how bearish it or how bad it had come in the first quarter. So an improvement from the first quarter to the second quarter isn't particularly surprising. But the fact that it came in above expectations buoyed the market, and we continue to see that investors are piling into these markets. So now the Dow is up almost 200 points on the day. It's been consolidating for much of the last month in what has been really a very tight step above the last relatively lengthy trading range, which also lasted for about a month, and this is very positive action. And it would really need to take out the progression of higher lows to question scope for this thing to push up even higher. We've been rallying now for the bones of 12 weeks. So markets are pushing steadily ahead, and we haven't seen anything yet to scare the bulls out of their positions. But we should also be reticent about indulging too much of the hyper bullish forecasts that are beginning to emerge, because stock markets in general do appear to have bottomed, and this is the classic type 2 reaction against the prevailing trend, which we went through in quite a lot of detail at the chart seminar over the last 2 days of last week. So following this type of very large rally, which shakes the bears out of their complacency, causes people to panic out of their shorts, and potentially even panic in terms of those people who are attempting to track a benchmark, and will be finding that increasingly difficult if they're not heavily long at this point. So we continue to see that this, what people are dubbing the pain trade, is pushing these markets increasingly higher. And the logical question is, how much further can they go? And of course, that is not a question that behavioral technical analysis will allow us to answer. But as long as these patterns remain consistent, nothing is happening to shake the bulls out of their positions or to stop the conversion of people to the bullish hypothesis. And as long as that continues, then these markets can continue to push higher. We continue to see that the Dow and the S&P are pushing back up towards their mean, or within, and are within, well within striking distance of their 200-day moving average at this point. Leading markets, on the other hand, for example, Brazil was up over 2% in here today, or 1,000 points, are well in excess of their moving average and are becoming increasingly overextended. Although, as with the lagging markets, we continue to see that leaders, although somewhat overextended, nothing has happened there either to shake the bulls out of their positions, and they remain really quite consistent. So this has been a very powerful day for the bulls, and this rally is getting increasingly long on the tooth, but it isn't over just yet. This was also an important day for the US Treasury market. For example, we have the 30-year down over a full point, and it broke below 120 on Friday and is at 118.02 in here today. That's a rather important break downwards, and it reasserts the downtrend that we've seen from the highs up there around 142. And the 10-year yield, for example, pushed above 3.5% today, having broken upwards on Thursday. And this continues to look like the flight to safety that pushed these bond prices to extraordinary heights earlier or late last year, or in the latter half of last year, is increasingly being unwound. We see that yields are continue to push upwards and that government bond prices continue to pull backwards. If the sovereign bond market is the last bubble that is still out there, then it's been going for the better part of 30 years, and we've probably seen the high. The low in yields on the 10-year bond, down at 2%, was almost certainly the bottom. And while it still has significant room to appreciate in terms of the yield before it breaks the progression of higher lows that has been coming down since 1980, it does appear now that we have seen the low, that the government bond bubble has probably peaked out, and higher yields are somewhere in our future, although probably not just yet, given that we still have these massive deflationary pressures on the economy, and we still haven't seen even one central bank attempting to raise interest rates, and that it remains quite unlikely. In fact, it remains unlikely that central banks are going to want to take the liquidity out of the system that they've put in over the last months, because they're going to be afraid that they will kill off any kind of recovery that gets underway. So there's a distinct likelihood that they're going to leave the liquidity in the system for longer than is absolutely needed. And that should have inflationary pressures. In tandem with the stock markets rallying into the latter half of today, we also saw that the precious metals rallied well off their lows. For example, we saw that gold earlier on in the day was down about $16, but reclaimed about $10 of that, closed down about 6 in the day, but still above the 950 level. And silver, having been as low as 1431, closed out the day just down 7 cents at 1462 and a half. So consolidating very nicely below this $15 level, and both of these continue to look like they can push higher. Gold is also notable for the fact that a number of the gold mines are pushing back up and are relatively close to their all-time highs, or to their highs that we saw last year. And there aren't very many other shares that are capable of making that claim. And gold is also one of the only asset classes that I can think of where prices are within 10% of their all-time highs. Gold has been consolidating for over a year, and we've seen on two previous occasions in this bull market where gold has consolidated for between a year and a year and a half before breaking upwards, and it is well within striking distance of breaking to new highs at some point later this year. So that is certainly something to watch, and the way that the dollar trades, it will not be insignificant in that regard. And the dollar was a bit weaker here against commodity currencies today. We saw that, for example, the Aussie dollar pushed a bit higher in Europe, 41 ticks. The Canadian dollar was a bit stronger as well. The euro was a little bit weaker, which skewed the performance of the dollar index, but for example, the pound was a little bit firmer and pushing higher in here today as well. So we continue to see that the currencies that had been sold off most aggressively against the dollar have strengthened most, and the ones that have either sound fundamentals or are related in some way to the commodity currencies, their commodity countries, are performing best against the dollar. We also see that Asian emerging markets, where those currencies had also been sold off very aggressively during the massive liquidation of carry trades and the flight from risk, have strengthened quite considerably, and we are seeing that there are a number of emerging market currencies are appreciating in line with the stock markets. So all that money that flowed out of emerging markets in the second quarter last year, or the second and third quarters, and into the fourth quarter indeed last year, is beginning to push back into those markets as investors look at the post-apocalyptic world, or the post-flood world, and start to think about what they want to own. And they are increasingly looking towards emerging Asia and commodity producing Latin America, as well as select technology-led markets, where they think that the better returns or the relative performance will continue to come from. And as long as investors continue to think like that, then they're probably going to be right in large numbers. The point, though, about the dollar is that it has had a remarkably strong rally, which broke the downtrend over the last 2 or 3 years. So the dollar is probably in a bottoming out process, which is likely to last for a number of years. And while it does have significant potential to weaken from here, I think that there is a strong likelihood that it is going to find support somewhere above its lows, and that there will be a lengthy ranging phase, in which case we will see bouts of when it will be advantageous to be short the dollar and long what could be termed risky assets. But we will go through phases where the dollar it will also be relatively strong if this base building hypothesis for the dollar is correct. And this could play out over a number of years. In which case, the while we have seen that a number of our favorite markets have appreciated and their currencies have appreciated in line with those markets, that may not be in the same sort of consistent trend that we saw with, for example, the Asian dollar index or the Latin American dollar index from their lows back in 2002 up to their highs in 2008, where the weight of money flowing into those related markets was enough to for them to be able to find support reliably above in progressions of lower high or higher lows over that 8 year period. Sorry, 6 year period, excuse me. And that was a remarkably consistent move. I personally think that it is unlikely we're going to see that type of 6 year advance so consistently forming really just yet. And I think we are in for bouts of increased volatility going forward, although at the moment there is no need to fear such increased volatility given the strength of these stock market rallies. But over the coming years, I think that there will be increased bouts of currency volatility, which could have an effect on some of the emerging market stock markets. So I think that is something that we need to potentially factor in as the recovery unfolds over the coming years. In the meantime, the best performing markets out there remain in Asia and commodity producing Latin America, and there is no reason to suspect that they will not continue to lead in the new bull market. There is always a sector which leads, and at the moment that appears to be resources and energy. When we do get a more serious type correction, it will be interesting to see which sector finds support first and begins to rally, because that really then will be much stronger evidence as to which will be the sector that rallies. And for all the evidence that we have at the moment, the chances are that it is going to be resources and the energy complex. Looking at the industrial metals today, we see that copper found support above the $2 level again in here today. It's been consolidating around this or above this level for much of the last month, and this was really quite positive action. Nickel as well was up over $600. So we are seeing that the ranging phases that a number of these industrial metals have moved into, they're finding support at progressively higher levels, and the base building form the base building hypothesis is well made here. And oil was as low as $59.53 earlier on today, but it closed back above $60 at $62.40. So we are seeing that people are moving back into the commodity complex. They are leery of fiat currencies, and they're looking for riskier assets. And this is quite positive action that we're seeing. With that, I'd like to wish all the best to all of you until tomorrow.